As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Love history but hate when it's stuffy and boring? Well, look no further and join me, Katie Charlwood, your friendly neighborhood social scientist and reader of books, as I delve into unsolved historical mysteries, murders by gaslight, and of course, women who have been misrepresented through all time. On Who Did What Now, the history podcast that's not your history class. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to History Tea Time. I'm Lindsay Holiday and I'm spilling the tea on history. The Seven Princess Royals of the United Kingdom. Today, we assume that all the daughters of a monarch are called princesses. But in the Middle Ages, this was not the case. The title prince and the female equivalent princess originally meant the ruler of any area, for instance, the reigning princes of Liechtenstein and Monaco. In the 13th century, King Edward I of England conquered Wales and sent his son to rule there, naming him Prince of Wales. But his daughters didn't actually rule over any land, so they were referred to as ladies. The title princess was not officially used in England for the daughters of the monarch until 1643. Queen consort Henrietta Maria of France wanted to copy the French style of calling the king's eldest daughter Madame Royale. So when her first daughter, Mary, was wed, the title Princess Royal was created to complement her brother's title of Prince of Wales. The rules of the title are: 1. It can only be granted to the reigning monarch's eldest living daughter. 2. It is not typically given if the daughter already holds a superior title by marriage. 3. The title is granted for life. 4. There can only be one princess royal at a time, so if an older relative already holds the title, then it cannot be granted to the new monarch's daughter until she has died. There have been 7 women who have held the title of princess royal: Mary, Anne, Charlotte, Victoria, Louise, Mary, and Anne. Let's meet them and see how the lives and roles of a princess royal have evolved over 400 years. Mary was born in 1631. She was the third child and eldest daughter of Charles I, King of England, Scotland, and Ireland, and Queen Henrietta Maria of France. She was sickly at birth, and her parents, who had already lost one child, feared that she might not survive, so she was baptized that very day. Mary was educated alongside her 6 surviving siblings. She was noted for her grace, beauty, manners, and dancing, but she did not excel academically. Her mother wanted to convert her to Catholicism and even brought a Catholic girl to the nursery to befriend her, but her father put a stop to this. The king wanted to wed his daughter to Balthazar Charles, heir to King Philip IV of Spain, but the princess would have had to convert to Catholicism, and the English wouldn't stand for that. At the age of 10, Mary was wed to 15-year-old William, the future Prince of Orange. As the ceremony was Protestant, her mother was not allowed to attend. As a wedding present, the queen persuaded her husband to create for Mary the title of Princess Royal, after the French title Madame Royale. The marriage between the 2 children was in name only. The groom returned to the Netherlands, and the bride was expected to remain with her family until her late teens. Meanwhile, King Charles I was in conflict with Parliament over his illegal taxation of the people. And Catholic Queen Henrietta Maria was widely hated by the growing Puritan movement. In 1642, civil war broke out between the king's supporters and the parliamentarians. The queen and her children fled to the Netherlands, where they were taken in by Princess Mary's father-in-law. Her mother and siblings moved on to France to live at the court of her cousin, King Louis XIV, while the princess remained in The Hague with her husband. The couple were now living together much earlier than expected, and they consummated their marriage when William was 18 and Mary only 13. Mary was a hit at the Dutch court. She gave audiences, met with foreign ambassadors, and performed her royal duties with a dignity and grace astonishing for her age. In 1647, Prince Frederick Henry of Orange died, and William and Mary were declared Prince and Princess of Orange. Later that year, the 16-year-old princess suffered a miscarriage. She followed closely news of her father, who was embroiled in war back in England. She wrote him frequently, begging him to flee to safety in the Netherlands, but he refused to leave his kingdom. In 1649, King Charles was captured by the parliamentarians and beheaded. The English monarchy was abolished, and Puritan general Oliver Cromwell took over the country as Lord Protector. Mary helped many royalists escape England. She became pregnant again, but shortly before the baby was due, her husband contracted smallpox and died at the age of 24. 8 days later, on her 19th birthday, Mary gave birth to a son. The newborn prince's cradle was draped with black cloth. Mary and her mother-in-law argued over what to name him. Mary wanted to call him Charles after her father, but Amelia insisted on William. Amelia won that argument and continued to fight with her daughter-in-law over the prince's custody and upbringing. Mary was not popular with the Dutch, who were keen to ally with Oliver Cromwell. She was forced to flee court and went to France often to visit her siblings. There she received several marriage proposals and may have taken a few lovers. In 1660, the English Parliament decided that they had had enough of being a republic. They restored the monarchy and invited Mary's brother back as King Charles II. A Princess of England once again, Mary's status greatly improved in the Netherlands. She sailed to London to visit her now sovereign brother. But she was so offended that he had recognized their brother James's marriage to commoner Anne Hyde, who had previously been Mary's lady-in-waiting, that she stormed off and returned home early. Later that year, she fell ill with smallpox. Her mother, Henrietta Maria, rushed to her bedside. She tried once more to convert her to Catholicism, but Mary refused. She did, however, consent to be treated by her mother's doctor, whose enthusiasm for bloodletting ended up assuring her death at the age of 29. Her body was taken home to be buried in Westminster Abbey. In her will, she asked her brother to watch out for her 10-year-old son. He would later wed Mary, the eldest daughter of her brother, King James II, and Anne Hyde. When James II became king, Mary was technically eligible for the title of Princess Royal, but did not receive it, as she already held the superior title Princess of Orange. In 1689, James II was kicked off the throne for converting to Catholicism, and Parliament invited William and Mary to become King and Queen of England. In exile and salty towards his first daughter, James did call his third daughter, Louisa Maria, Princess Royal, but this title was never official. If you haven't heard yet, I will be hosting a group tour of Scotland from May 15th to 21st. Over 7 days, we'll experience the highlights of Scottish history. We'll see the honors of Scotland at Edinburgh Castle, Bronze Age burial chambers at Balnorin of Clava, Éilean Donnan Castle, the Living History Highlands Folk Museum, the mystical Isle of Skye, and so much more. We'll try delicious Scottish delicacies and unwind over a whiskey tasting. And most amazingly of all, we'll experience it all with a group of fellow history lovers and a local guide. The other travelers and I have already been getting to know each other, and it's going to be such a fun group. There are only a few spots left, and the last day to book is March 25th. So go to trovatrip.com and search Scotland with Lindsay Holiday. My wonderful podcast listeners can use promo code HOLIDAY50 for an extra $50 off. That's trovatrip.com and search Scotland with Lindsay Holiday to book this historic journey today. The next Princess Royal to be recognized in Great Britain was Anne, the second child of the future King George II and Caroline of Ansbach. She was born in Hanover in 1709. She learned German, French, and English, and her music teacher was George Friedrich Handel. In 1714, when Anne was 5, the last Stuart monarch of Great Britain, Queen Anne, died without an heir. Her closest Protestant relative, George, Prince Elector of Hanover, was named King of Great Britain. The new king declared that all of the monarch's children and male line grandchildren would, from then on, be styled as prince or princess. Anne's father became Prince of Wales, but her aunt, Sophia Dorothea, was not granted the title Princess Royal because she was already Queen of Prussia. At 11, Anne contracted smallpox. She survived, but suffered a scarring on her face. In 1727, her grandfather died and her father became King George II. He granted his eldest daughter the British title of Princess Royal. A marriage was considered between Anne and King Louis XV of France, but the issue of her needing to convert to Catholicism canceled the plans. As only a Protestant monarch or heir to the throne were considered a worthy match for Princess Royal. And as there weren't too many of them to choose from, Anne reached the ripe old age of 25 and was still unmarried. She did not get along with her brother, Frederick, Prince of Wales, and was desperate to escape a life of spinsterhood at his court. So she took the only option available to her, William IV, Prince of Orange. He had a spinal deformation and was not considered a great catch, but Anne said that she would marry him even if he were a baboon. She and Handel composed This Is the Day together to be played at the wedding ceremony. The couple were at first distant, but eventually formed an intimate bond. Their first child, Anna, was stillborn, but they went on to have two healthy children, Carolina and William. Princess Anne was less loved by the Dutch, who found her haughty and arrogant. She wasn't shy about expressing her belief in British superiority, and neglected her royal duties in favor of reading and composing music. After 17 years of marriage, William IV died at 40, and Anne was appointed regent for the 3-year-old son, William V. Her policies focused on securing royal authority at the cost of the people's rights and supporting British interests abroad. She was thus deeply resented. Anne died of dropsy in 1759 at the age of 49. Her mother-in-law and then-daughter Carolina each took their turn acting as regent for her son until he came of age.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk takers.
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian mountains.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
Charlotte was born in 1766 to King George III and Queen Charlotte of Mecklenburg-Strelitz. After the birth of three sons, the parents were delighted to have a daughter. The royal couple would have a total of 15 children, 13 of whom survived to adulthood. The king and queen doted on their children and were far more interested in spending time at home than in court social life. At the age of 2, Charlotte was inoculated against smallpox, along with her siblings. Queen Charlotte popularized the life-saving procedure in Britain. At 18 months, she was given a French tutor and taught to recite poems and verses. She displayed an exceptional memory for the rest of her life. She did not, however, take to music and dancing. She hated playing in the tableaus her parents orchestrated to show their children off to the public. Charlotte was constantly compared to her sister, Augusta, who was considered remarkably beautiful, while Charlotte was very plain. Queen Charlotte wanted to keep her beloved daughters by her side and was loath to marry them off. The Princess Royal was 31, shockingly old for an 18th century bride, when she finally wed Frederick, hereditary prince of Württemberg. The couple had only one child, a stillborn daughter. But Charlotte became a stepmother to Frederick's four children. In 1800, Napoleon's army occupied Württemberg, and the royals fled to Vienna. Frederick negotiated with the French emperor, and in exchange for providing troops, he was declared King of Württemberg. This alliance made him an enemy to Britain. King George III refused to address his daughter as Queen of Württemberg. Frederick eventually switched sides and allied himself with his brother-in-law, George, who became Prince Regent once his father's mental illness left him unable to rule. When Napoleon was defeated in 1815, the Congress of Vienna confirmed Frederick's title as King of Württemberg. He died the following year. Charlotte continued to live at Ludwigsburg Palace with her stepson, King William I. She received visits from many of her siblings and was named godmother to her niece, the future Queen Victoria. In 1827, she returned to Britain for the first time since her wedding 30 years earlier to have surgery for dropsy. She died the following year at the age of 62. King George III's sons were far more fond of mistresses than wives and had very few legitimate children between them. George, Prince of Wales, had one legitimate daughter, Princess Charlotte, who was expected to inherit the throne after him. But she died in childbirth at the age of 21, 3 years before her father became king. So the next Princess Royal was Victoria. Upon the birth of her first child, Queen Victoria remarked, "Never mind, next time it will be a prince." At 3 months old, she was granted the vacant title Princess Royal. The queen had a loving but icy relationship with her namesake, whom the family called Vicky. The princess idolized her father, who inspired her liberal views. Victoria was always hungry for knowledge, learned several languages, science, and literature. In 1851, the queen invited her cousin, Prince Wilhelm of Prussia, and his family to London for the Great Exhibition. 11-year-old Vicky was encouraged to escort the prince's son, Frederick, around the exhibition. When Frederick returned home, he and Vicky maintained correspondence. 4 years later, the prince visited the British royals at Balmoral Castle in Scotland and asked Albert and Victoria's permission to marry their daughter. When Vicky was 17, she wed Frederick in London and then moved to Berlin. She found life there difficult and the Prussian court rigidly formal. Her correspondence home was no consolation, as her mother was demanding and critical of her every move. Vicky gave birth to her first child, Wilhelm in a dangerous delivery that nearly cost the lives of both mother and child, and left Wilhelm with a paralyzed arm. Her fourth son, Sigismund, died at 21 months from meningitis, and Vicky was heartbroken. Queen Victoria, famous for her decades of mourning her husband, Prince Albert, offered no sympathy, telling her that the death of a child was much less severe than the loss of a husband. Vicky had four more children, totaling eight, and while her older children had been raised by governesses, she raised the younger ones herself. In 1871, the many German princes proclaimed Wilhelm I Emperor of a united Germany. Vicky and Frederick opposed his conservative regime and growing anti-Semitism in the country. So the emperor and his minister, Otto von Bismarck, vilified them in the press and accused Vicky of being an English spy. In 1888, 91-year-old Wilhelm I died, and Frederick and Vicky became emperor and empress. But Frederick was struck with laryngeal cancer and lost the power of speech. He died after just 99 days on the throne. His son, now Kaiser Wilhelm II, hated his parents and emulated his conservative grandfather. He kicked his mother out of court. She built a castle named Friedrichshof, where she lived with her younger daughters. She died of breast cancer at 60, just a few months after the death of her mother. She did not live to see her son go to war against his British cousins and much of the rest of Europe in World War I. Louise was the third child and eldest daughter of the future King Edward VII and Alexandra of Denmark. She was quiet and shy and was educated by tutors along with her younger sisters, Victoria and Maud. She often spent summers in Denmark with her mother's family. She was very close with her mother, who would have preferred her to remain unmarried and by her side. But at 22, she married Scotsman Alexander Duff, Earl of Fife, who was 40. Her grandmother, Queen Victoria, promoted him to Duke of Fife. They had three daughters. The first, Alistair, was stillborn. The second and third she named after her mother and sister, Alexandra and Maud. In 1905, after her father ascended the throne and her aunt Victoria died, Louise was created Princess Royal. In 1911, she and her family were sailing to Egypt when they were shipwrecked off the coast of Morocco. They survived the ordeal and were rescued, but Alexander contracted a chest cold, which killed him a few weeks later. Louise thus became Duchess of Fife in her own right. She led a reclusive life, occasionally accompanying her mother or sisters to public events, but mostly remaining at home in Scotland. She died of heart disease in 1931, age 63. Her daughters were at her bedside. Mary was born in 1897, the only daughter of the future King George V and Mary of Teck. She was fluent in German and French and developed a great love of horses. As the only sister among five brothers, she took to athleticism rather than dressing up. She was especially close with eldest brother David, the future King Edward VIII. During World War I, teenage Mary visited wounded soldiers with her mother. She began the Princess Mary's Christmas Gift Fund, which provided 2.5 million boxes filled with cigarettes and candy for soldiers on Christmas Day. She took an active role in promoting the Girl Guides, the Voluntary Aid Detachment, and the Land Girls. She was shy and overprotected. Her playboy brother David worried that their parents would never let her out long enough for a man to fall in love with her. But at 24, Mary became engaged to 39-year-old Henry Lachelles, heir to the Earl of Harwood. David was glad Mary was getting out of Buckhouse prison, but thought her groom was too old and ugly for her. "But he's rich," he added. "I hope to God he makes her happy." Their wedding at Westminster Abbey was the first to be covered by fashion magazines, including Vogue. Her appearance on the balcony of Buckingham Palace attracted a massive crowd. the princess gave her wedding gift of £10,000 to the girl guides for the purchase of Foxleaf's estate, which remains their retreat to this day. Mary and Henry had two sons, George and Gerald. She thrived on their country estate in Yorkshire. She enjoyed managing the family farm and became an expert in cattle breeding. When her aunt, Louise, died in 1931, Mary was granted the title Princess Royal. In 1936, her father died, and her brother David became King Edward VIII. But he abdicated 11 months later to marry American divorcee Wallis Simpson. She supported him through the abdication crisis and went to visit him while the rest of the family shunned him. She did not attend her niece Princess Elizabeth's wedding, claiming ill health, but really she was upset that David had not been invited. During World War II, Mary was appointed the chief controller of the Women's Royal Army Corps and traveled the country visiting units and boosting morale. She was appointed Air Chief Commander of Princess Mary's Royal Air Force Nursing Service and received the honorary rank of General in the British Army. Henry died in 1947, and Mary lived at Harwood House with her son, now the 7th Earl of Harwood, and helped to raise her grandchildren. She represented her niece, Queen Elizabeth, in Trinidad and Tobago in 1962, and at the independence celebrations of Zambia in 1964. The following year, while out walking with her son and grandchildren, Mary suffered a fatal heart attack and died at the age of 67. She was buried at the Harwood House estate with her husband. Though Elizabeth was the eldest daughter of King George VI, she was never called Princess Royal because her Aunt Mary held the title until well after she became queen. Anne, the only daughter of the future Queen Elizabeth II and Prince Philip, was born in 1950. Anne's nanny described her as temperamental, never still, often up to mischief, very intelligent, and not as easily led as Charles. Despite their differences, Charles and Anne were close. She was the leader and bossed him around. She was very much like her father, and it was said that Anne was the son Philip had always wanted. When she was 9, a special brownie pack of girl guides was formed at Buckingham Palace so that she could socialize with other girls and follow in the footsteps of her Aunt Mary. She was outgoing and got along well at boarding school, where she was the only girl to have pocket money left at the end of term. Anne, not particularly academic, was uninterested in attending university and jumped right into a career as a working royal. She accompanied her parents on a trip to Australia and her brother to North America. At 21, she won the European Equestrian Championship and was voted BBC Sports Personality of the Year. 2 years later, she married fellow equestrian Captain Mark Phillips. The Queen offered Mark an earldom, but the couple declined as they didn't want to burden their children with the title. The newlyweds were returning to Buckingham Palace from a charity event when a gunman blocked their car and began firing at them, shooting their bodyguard, driver, and a nearby journalist. The gunman shrieked that he would kidnap the princess and hold her ransom for £3 million. He tried to get her out of the car, but she responded, "Not bloody likely," and locked the doors. Police arrived and the gunman gave chase, but was captured and everyone involved recovered. In 1976, Anne competed in the Olympic Games in Montreal. She had two children, Peter and Zara. The princess has taken numerous trips to Africa in support of Save the Children, but she was never able to endear herself to the press. In the 1980s, her new sisters-in-law, Diana and Fergie, quickly eclipsed her in popularity. Unruffled, Anne continued her tenacious work. In 1990, she became the first British royal to visit Russia since the fall of the Romanov dynasty in 1917. But her marriage was falling apart. During a visit to New Zealand, Mark had a one-night stand which produced a daughter, Felicity Wade. Mark denied the child was his and refused to pay support until her mother took him to court. Private love letters to Anne from the Queen's equerry, Thomas Lawrence, were printed in the paper. Anne and Mark divorced in 1992, and Anne quietly married Timothy Lawrence. The Princess Royal is patron to more than 200 charities and does between 350 and 500 public appearances each year, more than any other member of the royal family, including her mother. Anne will hold the title of Princess Royal until her death, at which time, if Prince William is king, it will most likely go to his daughter, Princess Charlotte. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. I'll be putting out new episodes every Tuesday, revisiting and revamping my most popular YouTube videos, unburying some of my favorite hidden gems, and adding even more fascinating information for your listening pleasure. Want some visuals with your history? Then check out my YouTube channel, History Tea Time with Lindsay Holiday, where you can find hundreds of videos about queens of the world, royal history, women's history, and more. You can also follow History Tea Time on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. This podcast is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other great shows like Queen's Podcast, Ancient History Fangirl, Redacted History, and more.